Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now? Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign to you, that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go back forward 10 steps, or shall it go back 10 steps? It is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah. Rather, have it go back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. And let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray you just teach us this morning how important it is, how absolutely critical it is that we need to keep praying. And Lord, praying and keep praying and never give up. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. 2020 has been a really bad year, and especially for people living in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Because last August the 27th, Hurricane Laura slammed into Lake Charles with 110-mile-an-hour winds and 15 inches of rain, trashing and flooding every building and every house in town. Then just 6 weeks later, October the 10th, Hurricane Delta slammed into Lake Charles, Louisiana, with 12 inches of rain and 110-mile-an-hour winds. And all those houses that got flooded before got soaked all over again. Then just 3 weeks later, October 29th, it was Hurricane Zeta, the record third hurricane to slam into Louisiana in 2020. Rinse and repeat all over again. And Sandy and Cindy Carlton, whose house there got flooded 3 times in 10 weeks, said this. We prayed and prayed and prayed that God would stop all of these storms. And yet we got hit by all of them. So we're wondering, why pray anymore? And how many of us Christians sitting in this church right now, listening to this sermon, are asking exactly the same question? Heading into the holiday season with everything that's gone on in America since last February, and now with the election on top of it, why should we pray? When it seems like all the other prayers never got answered either. The text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. In 2 Kings chapter 20, God gives King Hezekiah the shock of his life. But in our text today, God shows him the blessing that prayer really is. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today the blessing that prayer really is too, if we pray and keep praying and don't give up. Our text this morning, 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, tells us 3 reasons why we should pray and keep praying, and especially in the desperate situation we're in right now. And let's look and see what those 3 reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why we should pray, is because we need to pray. And that's exactly what Hezekiah finds out here in verses 1 to 3. Now, Hezekiah was in the process of reviving the southern kingdom of Judah. But right before the Assyrians come to attack Jerusalem, the prophet Isaiah comes to him and says, put your house in order, you're going to die and kick the bucket. And whether it was cancer or coronavirus or the Chicago Bears offense, holy cow, happy Thanksgiving. How many of y'all realize sometimes God will tell you things that you really don't want to hear? And how did Hezekiah respond? Well, first of all, he cries his eyes out because he doesn't want to go. But then more importantly, he turns his face to the wall next and starts praying about it. Because he realizes he's close to dying. He realizes he needs prayer like nobody's business. We need to pray. We need to pray for America because our country is dying right now too. Dancing with the Stars can count 150 million votes for dancers in 5 minutes. But our nation can't count votes for president of the United States. Key battleground states right now are making a mockery out of President Donald Trump's requested recount. The media calls it a threat to democracy, while Facebook censors all the evidence of the fraud and calls it misinformation. Just remember, this is the same outfit that says unborn babies aren't human beings, that there's 57 different genders, and that the carbon dioxide that comes out of our mouths is poisoning the planet. Joe Biden wants to shut down the entire country for 2 solid months and then write out $2 trillion worth of checks for every single person in America. As long as the lockdown lasts, that's how long the virus is going to last. Here's the latest stats from the CDC. The death rate for COVID for children is 0.000. For adults, the death rate is 2/3 of 1%. The transmission rate from children to adults is only 0.27%. So tell me, why are our schools closed? And here's the results of all the lockdowns. Half of all Americans say their mental health is suffering. Depression is now the number one health problem of women. Substance abuse is up over 20%. 35 states have record opioid overdose deaths. Suicide rate for teenagers is up 76%. Calls to suicide hotlines are up 8,000%. America's dying, people! You gotta sit outside in an igloo when you go to a restaurant? Next picture. Heaven's sakes, pretty soon we'll all be in hyperbaric chambers like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And the crazy fear. Last week, I was at a gas station, and a woman behind me had on a mask, goggles, a plastic shield, and rubber gloves, buying 2 cartons of cigarettes. So lung cancer and heart disease is just fine, but you got to be afraid of COVID. Today in America, a woman can't get an ultrasound, a breast exam, or a cancer screening, but she can get an abortion. Last summer, leftist governors stood by and let Antifa thugs burn their cities to the ground. But now they're going to arrest you for celebrating Thanksgiving. California Governor Gavin Newsom, here's the rules he has for Thanksgiving for people in California. Gatherings can't include more than 3 families. All gatherings must be held outside. Gatherings cannot last longer than 2 hours. Each family must bring their own utensils, and all food must be served in single-serve disposable containers. Face coverings should be worn at all times except when eating. No one is allowed to use indoor bathrooms unless they are completely sanitized after every use. No loud talking or shouting or singing. Sounds about as fun as a parole board hearing. Can anybody say government overreach? In Oregon right now, you can go to jail if you have more than 6 people in your house. In Nevada, you can go to a casino, you can go to a strip club, but you can't go to church. Our freedoms, our rights are dying. America's dying, people. We need to pray. There's people listening to the sermon right now. Next picture. You need to pray too. Because there's all kinds of things dying in your life as well. Aren't there? Maybe it's your business, because your restaurant cannot survive on 25% capacity and piddly takeout orders. Maybe it's a scholarship, because Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker just canceled all winter high school sports in this state, even though all the other states in the Midwest all around us are playing sports to beat the band, with no COVID outbreaks whatsoever. Death of a dream. And then there's all the regular heartaches on top of all the COVID. Your so-called friends are trashing you online. Your boyfriend broke up with you, so there goes all the dreams you had for the rest of your life. You find out your parents are getting a divorce. The doctor tells you that you tested positive for the XXX cancer marker. Put your house in order, because you're not going to live very long either. You're home all the time, so you eat all the time, and you look like you work out. Good news is all the squirrels are gone out of your attic. The bad news is your daughter's trying to learn to play the violin. You and your husband are fighting like cats and dogs. Your marriage has failed video written all over it. You don't know you're going to make it. That kid right there didn't make it. Last April the 17th, 12-year-old Caleb Miller, Columbus, Ohio, hung himself in his bedroom closet 3 days before his 13th birthday because he couldn't take the isolation, not being able to go to school and be with his friends. Because, come to find out, most kids' mental health services are accessed through the school. But who knew? And who cared? Because at least he didn't go to school and catch a virus, right? And just to be clear, why do bad things like this happen to everybody? And they do happen to everybody. Demi Lovato just broke up with her fiancé last September the 24th. Sylvester Stallone's mother, Jackie, died last month at the age of 98. Actor Jeff Bridges now has lymphoma. Chrissy Teigen just had a miscarriage, only 4 months along. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So why does God let things happen like that? To wake us up? To get our attention? To make us realize how much we need Him? To drive us back to Him so that we'll rearrange our priorities and put Him first? Because the sad fact is, if God never did shake our tree, we would never pray to Him like we're supposed to, would we? Amen. We need to pray. So don't you dare, make the mistake that He made. Everybody knows that Alex Trebek, longtime host of that TV game show Jeopardy, died last November the 8th at the age of 80 after a 2-year fight with pancreatic cancer. He was born in Canada but moved to the United States so he could get in show business. 1973, he started hosting game shows. 1984, he hosted one episode of Jeopardy and never looked back. And taped over 8,200 episodes of that show, even up to 10 days before he died. And everybody and his brothers said that Alex Trebek was the nicest guy in the world. Prepared for hours for every show so that he never stumbled over a question. Was always on time, always polite, never flew off the handle, would give you the shirt off his back. And he and his wife did relief work all over the world. They gave millions and millions of dollars to charities and homeless shelters. Peach of a man. But the problem is, Alex Trebek didn't know diddly squat about the Lord. He told People magazine after he was diagnosed with cancer, if it wasn't for his wife, he'd have committed suicide. And even though he said over and over again that he appreciated all the prayers of all of his fans, there's no indication whatsoever that Alex Trebek ever once prayed himself or even believed in God at all. Last year he came out with an autobiography called And the Answer Is. And this is the message he tweeted out 4 days before he finally passed away. My life has been a quest for great knowledge and understanding, and I am nowhere near having achieved that. But it doesn't bother me in the least. I will die without having come up with answers to many things in life. And sadly enough, Alex Trebek missed the most important answer of all, the greatest answer of all, Jesus Christ, the whole answer to life and all of our problems. And it should have bothered him that he didn't understand it. Because being a nice guy is great, but if you want to go to heaven, you got to be saved. You got to be forgiven. God gave Alex Trebek a wake-up call with a cancer diagnosis that told him he was close to dying, but he just blew it off. So any unbelievers listening to this message this morning, let me ask you. If you found out tonight that you were going to die, how would you respond? Because listen to me, you've got to be praying, you've got to be ready. And because none of us knows exactly when it is we're going to die, we've got to be ready at all times. Believing that Jesus died in our place when He died on the cross and trusting Him for salvation. Otherwise, you really are going to be in jeopardy. Amen. Life is short. Pray hard. The first reason why we should pray is because we need to pray. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why we should pray. Not only because we need to pray, because God answers prayer. Next picture. And that's exactly what Hezekiah finds out here in verses 4 through 7. God answers prayer because God hears our prayers. And with Hezekiah here, it was too sweet. Notice verse 4. Hezekiah prays, and before Isaiah can even get out of the palace to go to Starbucks after delivering the message, God says, hey, I just heard Hezekiah's prayer. So turn right around and go back in there and tell him I'm going to heal him and put 15 more years on his clock and deliver Judah from the Assyrians. Talk about instant messaging. And why did God answer Hezekiah? Verse 5. Because God heard his prayers and saw his tears. So listen to me. God is not going to put you in his spam folder. God is not going to block your text. He is never going to deny your friend request. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. You pray to God from the heart. He will see your tears and hear your words and answer your prayers too. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3. The Lord will hear when I call to him. God answers prayer. God answers prayer because there is power in prayer. Hezekiah is dying. Hezekiah prays. Hezekiah lives. So without the prayer, Hezekiah doesn't live. There's power in prayer. Even before Hezekiah took the throne, God had already determined that he was going to destroy the southern kingdom of Judah because of idolatry. And Isaiah chapter 57 verse 1 says that sometimes God takes people out to spare them from evil things in the future. So God in his mercy was going to let Hezekiah die so he would not have to see the destruction of the southern kingdom. So Hezekiah's prayer not only saved his life, it also saved the life of his entire nation for a while. There's power in prayer. Verse 7. Isaiah is Hezekiah's primary caregiver. So he mixes up a poultice made of figs, puts it on the lesion or the contusion or the ulcer or whatever it is that Hezekiah had that was making him sick. Very common medicine in the Middle East back then. But notice, it wasn't the figs or super beets or dynavite or copper socks that heals Hezekiah. It was God through prayer. Which means some things will never happen if we don't pray about them. There's power in prayer. Last June the 12th, Shreveport, Louisiana, an F4 tornado was bearing down on the house of 75-year-old Wanda Wilson. So she ran to the bathroom and crawled in the bathtub because the National Weather Service says there are two things in your house anchored to the ground, your tub and your toilet, so a tornado will never blow them away. But then all of a sudden, that tornado just exploded her house, picked her up in the air, and sent her flying for over a mile and a half, screaming, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" And then what do you know? All of a sudden, as she's airborne, there is her bathtub from her bathroom flying right next to her. And it moved right in front of her and collected her in it and shielded her from the trees that she crashed into, and then very gently floated her down to the ground. People, that woman did not have one scratch anywhere on her body thrown over 2 miles. Kevin, prayer changes things. Which means without the prayer, the things can change you. And some of those things can even kill you without the prayer. God answers prayer. And I know there's some people listening to me right now saying, "But Kevin, if God answers prayer, why doesn't God answer my prayers like that?" That depends. What kind of prayers are you praying? God, give me the chance to prove that somebody can win the lottery and still be a good person. God, grant me the serenity to accept stupid people just like they are, the courage to maintain self-control, and the wisdom to know that if I don't, I could go to jail. God is not going to answer prayers like that. I don't care what Kenneth Copeland says. You can name it and claim it and confess it till you're blue in the face. God is not going to give us something that he does not want us to have. The devil might, but God isn't. If your request is wrong, God says no. If your timing is wrong, God says slow. If you're doing wrong, God says grow. But if your request is right and your timing is right and you're doing right, God says go. Go for it. God is going to answer a prayer like that. Stouffer's just came out with a machine that dispenses hot macaroni and cheese. All you got to do is pull the noodle-shaped lever and you get all the macaroni and cheese that you want. There's some people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. The reason that God is not answering your prayers is because God is not a macaroni and cheese machine. Prayer is not going to give you everything that you want to have. Prayer only gets you what it is that God wants you to have. Because all prayer prayed according to his will, to a sovereign God. And God can answer those prayers in ways that absolutely blow your mind. back in 2001, Bob and Rennie Taylor are driving to Logan Airport, Boston, Massachusetts, because Rennie has to catch a flight to Los Angeles to get to a conference out there for her medical business. Christian couple, they prayed all the while that God would give them a safe trip, give Rennie a safe trip. But 8 miles away from Logan Airport, they have a flat tire. No spare. So by the time they get the whole thing fixed, they have to go back home because Rennie missed her flight. United Airlines flight 175. September 11th, 2001. One of the flights that was hijacked by the Muslim terrorists and flown into the World Trade Center, killing everybody on board. Now, did God answer her prayer? Absolutely she did. God gave her a safe trip by keeping her from getting on that plane to start with. Thank God. Thank God He answers prayer according to His will and not ours. And I know somebody's thinking, but Kevin, what about the little 5-year-old boy that dies of a brain tumor? And all the prayers that were said for him that never got answered. What about that? And the only thing I can say is I don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the hidden things belong to God, which means there are things that are going to happen to us and the people that we love in this lifetime that we are never ever going to be able to figure out this side of eternity. And God is under no obligation whatsoever to explain those things to us either.
That's right.
God doesn't ask us to explain Him. He doesn't ask us to understand Him. All He asks us to do is pray and trust Him. So let me ask you, are we trusting Him? Are we praying? Because believe you me, you better be praying about the survival of this nation. This coming January 2021, world leaders from all over the planet are going to be going to a World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, something called the Great Reset. And they will be looking at how they can use the economic downturn caused by the coronavirus to turn the whole world to socialism, to collapse the entire capitalist system and replace it with a new world economic order based on United Nations Agenda 2030 and Kamala Harris's Green New Deal. And why should we be concerned? Because Joe Biden is already saying America needs a great reset when it comes to the economy. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the world needs a great reset when it comes to the economy. California Governor Gavin Newsom is saying it. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is saying it. Do you see what's coming? And I know there's Christians listening to this sermon right now. See, Kevin, it's hopeless. It's over. There's no way in the world can stop this. There's no way in the world that God can hush. Can we just have a little bit of perspective here on what's going on in this country and what's going on in the world? Next picture. Astronomers tell us that our universe is 300 billion light years across. That means if we had a spaceship that could travel the speed of light, which we don't, but if we did, 693 million miles per second, even traveling that fast, it would still take 300 billion years to go from one end of the universe to the other. Space and distance that absolutely boggles the mind. The picture you see here on the screen is one of the latest images from the Hubble telescope, and one of the most incredible of all, showing an area of the sky the size of a pinhead from 75 feet away. A little tiny sliver. Incredible because it gives a keyhole view, all stretching all the way to the visible horizon of the universe. Deep, deep, deep space, 12 billion light years away from here at Fox River Church. So it's not just exactly around the corner. But it gives us a typical representation of how the heavenly bodies are distributed throughout the universe. And you need to know, every single one of those lights is not a star. Every single one of those lights is a galaxy with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of stars. There are 250,000 galaxies just in that picture alone. So far away, they are 4 billion times fainter than what can be seen with the human eye. Unbelievable. And this galaxy right here, right there, It's called ACT-139. It is 120,000 light years across. That means if we had that spaceship that could travel at the speed of light, it would still take 120,000 years to go from one end of that galaxy to the other. That is distance that I cannot comprehend because my brain can't even calculate it, and neither can yours. And that galaxy weighs 1.5 trillion solar masses, meaning it weighs 1.5 trillion times more than the sun in our solar system. That's how huge it is. But in spite of that, that's just a little shrimpy because the galaxy right next to it is 6,300 times bigger than that one. And yet the Bible tells us that the God that we believe in, Jesus Christ, created the entire universe and every single one of those galaxies and billions and billions and billions more instantly out of nothing just by speaking them into being by the power of His Word and the breath of His mouth. And Jesus not only created all of them, He also continues to sustain them by keeping them all hanging out there in space and keeping them up and running like a huge giant nuclear reactor that we can't even fathom. So even out there, infinitely beyond anything that our eyes can even see with the most powerful telescope, trillions and trillions and trillions of miles away, in the furthest recesses of deep, dark space, even there, He is King of kings and Lord of lords, upholding everything by the power of His Word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So let me ask you, do you honestly believe that Jesus can take care of billions and billions of galaxies and trillions of stars in ways that you and I cannot even begin to understand how? And He can't take care of election results? Or capitalism in America? Or the coronavirus? Or that lump they found on your MRI? Jesus can't take care of you finding a husband or helping you stop drinking? Is He a God far away and not a God close by? Jesus can take care of all of that, but He can't take care of you. Jesus can keep all of that going, but He can't keep you going. The crown of His creation, whom He loves with an everlasting love, who is far more precious and valuable to Him than the entire universe and all the galaxies put together. Oh, we of little faith. The second reason why we need to pray is because God answers prayer. Well, in this text we see a third thing. A third reason why we need to pray. Should pray. Not only because we need to pray, not only because God answers prayer, but third, because prayer builds up our faith. And that's exactly what it does for Hezekiah here in verses 8 through 11. And build it up for what? For the next trial that comes after this one. Because right after this is over, 185,000 Assyrian soldiers show up to turn the city of Jerusalem into a pile of rubble. And Hezekiah needs even more faith to overcome that trial. And then the next trial after that, because verses 12 to 20 in this chapter say that Hezekiah gets a big head when it comes to his military power. And he's stupid enough to show some envoys from Babylon all the treasures in the temple and in the palace. Trials. Because the Christian life is all about overcoming one trial after the other, all by faith, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Faith that comes from God through prayer. So the number one purpose of prayer is not to get what we want. The number one purpose of prayer is to build our relationship with God. So prayer doesn't just change things, it changes us and builds up our faith. God builds up Hezekiah's faith. Next picture, by giving him a sign. Verse 8, Hezekiah asks Isaiah for a sign that God was really going to heal him. Now, King Hezekiah's father, King Ahaz, built a special stairway when he was reigning over in Jerusalem between the palace and the temple. And that stairway is still there today. You can see it in Jerusalem. Stairs built in such a way that as the sun would go down, each step that gradually got covered up by the shadow would count off another unit of time that had passed. So verse 9, Isaiah says to Hezekiah, there's your sign. You want the shadow to go backward 10 steps on the stairs, or you want the shadow to go forward 10 steps on the stairs? Your choice. So verse 10, Hezekiah says, well, the shadow always goes forward every single day. It doesn't seem like to be any big deal. So why don't the shadow go backwards? Verse 11, God made the shadow go backwards 10 steps on Ahaz's stairway. But we need to realize God didn't just turn back a clock here for daylight savings time. Because God actually stopped time. And He not only stopped time, He turned it backwards. Remember that old Cher song, If I Could Turn Back Time? God did that here. Which means God actually reached down and turned the earth backwards. So that the shadow coming from the sun shining on it would turn backwards. Talk about a sign. Talk about a sign that God will do anything in heaven and earth to answer your prayer. And we know this happened because 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 31 says that the envoys who came from Babylon came to Judah to ask about this miracle. And the Babylonians worshiped the sun. And in their historical record, even they wrote about a day when the shadow from the sun went backwards instead of forwards. And I know there's some physicists listening to this sermon right now saying, but Kevin, the earth can't go backwards. Because if the earth stopped and turned backwards, there would be cataclysmic earthquakes and tidal waves and tsunamis. Earth's crust would crack like an egg. It'd be like that apocalyptic movie, The Day After Tomorrow. Kevin, the earth can't just go backwards. I know that. That's why for eons, Christians have written libraries of books trying to explain this away, saying, well, it was probably a storm cloud that passed over. It was probably an eclipse. It could have been everything from retrograde sun motion to light refraction and everything in between. But we've got to realize there is no natural explanation for a supernatural work of God. Now, this was absolutely nothing for God to do. He violated every scientific and natural law there is because He created the scientific and natural laws. Because He's King and Lord of all mankind. He's Lord of heaven and earth. So the simple fact is, we don't know how God did this. And we couldn't explain it in a million years. That's why it's called a miracle. And it built up Hezekiah's faith. But don't you know, next picture, God's given us Christian believers a miraculous sign too. A sign that God's going to answer our prayers too. Something far greater than a shadow on a stairs, it's Jesus Christ on a cross. When God turned the sun off and everything got black, when Jesus became sin for us, and even nature itself testified to the terrible thing God had to do for our forgiveness. Verses 5 and 8 talk about the third day. On the third day, Hezekiah was supposed to go to the temple and get it officially confirmed by the priest that he had been healed. So on the third day, Hezekiah came to life. Just like on the third day, Jesus Christ came to life. The greatest miracle of all, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That not only proves Jesus can do anything, it also proves that there isn't anything that Jesus wouldn't do for us. He who did not spare His own Son, but willingly gave Him up for us, how much more will He graciously give us all things? Well, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know if God can answer my prayer. For the love of God, you big baby, what else does God have to do to prove it to you? He already gave you the greatest miracle you'll ever need by solving the biggest problem you'll ever have by dying on a cross for your sins. Jesus loved you enough to die for you, but Jesus doesn't love you enough to answer your prayers. For heaven's sakes, look to the cross and build up your faith. And don't quit. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, next picture. Jesus said, we should always pray and never, ever, ever give up. That means you pray and you don't quit praying until you pray it through and the answer comes. Right. Last June the 23rd, police in Providence, Rhode Island were going to have a memorial service outside their precinct building for all fallen officers whose lives were taken during this past summer. The problem is, local Antifa heard about it too. So they showed up there and started slamming the police and started spitting on them and screaming at them and waited for other Antifa groups to come from all over the state so they could join in, start a huge riot, and make national headlines. But before things really started getting ugly, two crazy Catholic moms showed up there with a portable Mr. Microphone sound system And man, were those gals ever filled with the Holy Ghost? And man, did they ever know how to get a hold of God? So they set up right next to the group of Antifa protesters and started singing hymns and praying like crazy. And this is what it looked like from the very start. The sound doesn't work in here, but they're praying and they're singing. They got their shofars, they got their holy oil, they got it all going on. We can't show the rest of it because the protesters start cussing so bad. But right at that moment, all of a sudden the Antifa members rush the cops with a bunch of clubs and all hell breaks loose. And for the next 40 minutes during the entire melee, those two crazy Christian moms standing at the edge of the crowd are praying and praying and praying and praying until finally it freaks out Antifa so much they just walked away. Even before their reinforcements got there. Riot over, people, because prayer stopped it. You pray and you pray and you don't stop. You never give up. Just like he didn't. Next picture. Every year when Sunday school starts here at Fox River Church, I always give every confirmation student a sheet that says, getting to know you. And it asks simple questions. Their favorite food, their favorite subject in school, favorite sport. Here's a sheet that was filled out by one guy in my 2009 confirmation class. Said his favorite subject was social studies. Favorite sport is basketball. Favorite food is spaghetti. What do you want to do when you finish high school or college? He wrote, I want to play in the NFL. Because he believed God called him to do that when he was 5 years old. Now, most guys in the eighth grade want to be a pro football player. But I knew he was serious about it because I saw him many times over there in that sanctuary, right at the altar, praying about it. And he never quit praying about it. But from the very start, he had all kinds of things against it. Mostly because of the fact that he wasn't very big, as you see there in his confirmation picture. And when he started playing football, his freshman year in high school, he got hurt. And every year after that, too. But he just kept praying, and he never quit. So 2012, he was an all-state wide receiver and helped Aurora Christian High School win a couple of state football championships. Then he went to Northern Illinois University, but again, because of all the injuries, he never played 1 year of college ball totally healthy. And I'm talking freaky injuries, like having his arm broken half and then put back together with two metal plates and 12 screws, and having his hamstring completely torn away from his tibia bone. And yet, he never quit. He kept working, killing himself in rehab, coming back and praying about that dream that God gave him when he was 5 years old. So he finished his entire college career with a grand total of 60 catches and 3 touchdowns. For his entire career. Now, if you want to impress the NFL, you got to have highlight film, and 3 touchdowns isn't very much. But in spite of all that, 2018, he got signed as an undrafted free agent by the Minnesota Vikings. Then he got cut. Then he got signed to the practice squad. 2 years ago, he made the team, but then his season ended with a hamstring injury. Last year, he made the team again, but tore ligaments in his ankle. That guy's injured body parts he can't even pronounce. He got more metal in him than General Custer. Like that poor guy in the Operation board game, laying there cut open, that's him. But he just kept praying, and he never quit. But folks, can you imagine the temptation to quit? All those injuries, having to come back time after time after time after time, believing that everything was against him, wondering why God allowed it to happen if God really called him to play. hearing the critics in Minneapolis telling him he was made of glass, hearing the devil whispering in his ear, telling him just to quit and walk away and give it up and cash it in. And the physical pain, the hell that he went through in those rehab sessions to get back to moving again and then to get back to gain shape, because once you get to the NFL, you have to work even harder to stay there and stay number one on the depth chart. People, can you imagine the hell that he went through in those therapy sessions and in the weight rooms? And I can't even begin to tell you about the personal stuff that he had to fight through, because that's nobody's business but him and God's. But he kept praying and he never quit. In the history of Fox River Church, there's only two people from this congregation, two men who have ever played in the NFL. There's one and there's the other. So mom and dad, did you pray for him too? Once or twice maybe? And all those prayers did what? It built up his faith so he could overcome one trial after the other, after the other, after the other. And has it all paid off? Absolutely. Because the third season, he's seen lots of playing time as a slot receiver, proving you don't get to the NFL by accident, because he is super talented, he's very quick off the line, and he knows how to get open. So why in the world did God allow all these injuries to happen to him? This is what Chad Beebe said. I felt called by God to play pro football since I was 5 years old. So to let injury stop that's just something I couldn't live with. So I pray a lot. And God tells me, just get through it and come back better than ever before. So when I pray, that's the mindset He gives me. So I'm just going to keep trusting Him and plugging away. Because it's not about me. It's about what He's doing through me. That the world may know that the all-surpassing glory does not come from Him, but from God. And to make His testimony better every time He shares it. So Christians, listen to me. You're looking for a sign that there's a God who answers prayer. You're looking for a sign that God can do the impossible, that God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we ever ask or imagine. You're looking for a sign that God can turn your setbacks into comebacks too. Look at him. Little bitty kid from little bitty Fox River Church, playing in the NFL, living, breathing proof that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God through prayer cannot do if we pray and keep praying and don't give up no matter what. There's lots of Christians listening to this sermon right now. You're depressed. And you're bummed. And you're mad in a snort. And you're all upset about this election. And the future of this country. And the coronavirus. And the stupid lockdown. And what it's doing to our economy and our jobs and our businesses. And your kids' education. I am too. And then on top of that, it's all the other hairy stuff that we have to deal with when it comes to our personal lives and families and people that we love the most and that are closest to us. And there's some believers listening to this sermon right now, sitting right here in this room. You are this close to chucking it all and walking away and giving up. You say, Kevin, the heck with it. It's hopeless. Nothing's ever going to change. Nothing's ever going to get better. Why even pray? But Christians, listen to me. We can't do that. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, we should always pray and never, ever give up. So let me ask you this morning. What is it in your life right now that you've given up on? And that you stopped praying for? Because you don't think it's possible. You think it's hopeless. And you don't think God will ever answer your prayers anyway. Maybe it is the election. Maybe it is the future of this country. Maybe it's a career that you always dreamed about. Maybe it's that baby that you and your husband have never been able to have. Maybe it's a situation in your family or a situation at work. What is it that you stopped praying for and that you've given up on? Maybe it's somebody in your family, some relative you have who's lost and doesn't know Christ, and they are so lost. You think there's no way in the world they are ever going to get saved. So you stopped. What have you given up on? What have you stopped praying for? Because listen to me. It's time to remember, Christians, what we signed up for. The righteous will live by faith. Remember? without faith, it is impossible to please God. Remember? And the only prayers that God can't answer are the prayers that we don't pray. So I don't care if you prayed about it before, pray about it again. Because don't you dare quit 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute before God decides it's time to answer those prayers and send you your miracle. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. What is it in our lives right now that we've given up on? That we've stopped praying for? That we've thought is hopeless. With man, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. We come to you today right now, Lord, in prayer, absolute faith that you can do all things. And right now, Lord, we name that thing in our lives that we've given up on. And we're saying today we're not giving up on it. We're going to continue to pray. We name that thing before you right now, that person, that situation, that problem. And Lord, we commit that to you right now and trust, Lord, that you're going to move, that you're going to do something. You answer prayer. Prayer changes things. And God, I pray as we continue in these last days and things continue to look worse and worse, and we see evil and corruption multiplied more and more, Lord, that we would just see your glory more and more and your power moving more and more. And we pray that, Lord, in this situation that we lay at your feet right now. God, help us. Cure our unbelief. Give us faith in you in all things. All this we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.